Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Campbell.
Friday. A moist one. And I love some people out there just love the word moist, so I'm going to say it a couple times. Moist.
You enjoy that way too much. I don't. I hate you for that.
Yeah. It's. Are you one of those people that hate the word moist?
Not really. I hate it, but
yeah, it is a wet one. 90% humidity or something like that. So it means like 90% of the air right now is water.
Thank you for that, Adam.
Yes, it makes things real difficult when you work in the frozen department.
I imagine it does. Poor Adam. I feel for you. I really do. Not really.
No. Not at all.
We have much to do today, though, and I am even going to let you get...
Let me listen to this guy over here.
I'm being nice today. Look, all right? I am going to actually open up the first, like, segment or two of the show to hockey talk, which I don't normally do when there's not a relevant local team in the picture. But we have things to discuss, and we will get to the Stanley Cup Finals a little bit later. But Steve Yzerman spoke to the media today.
Yeah, he had a little presser.
I have audio.
He has an actuality, folks. That's what it's called in the radio biz.
I've got all sorts of clips from Yzerman, and I want to get your take on some things, because I feel like several of these, if he's being honest with us about what he's saying about the state of the team and certain things, I feel like a lot of the diehards are going to be a bit disappointed. First, we'll start with the clip where he talks about free agency and the Iser plan, so to speak.
Okay.
Well, I would agree. I think there's more expectations for our team next year. Going into free agency, we're ultimately, you know, I'm going to stick to the plan, and we are trying to build a team that's not just going to make the playoffs one year and maybe not the next year. So we're going to continue. I don't know what word to use, disciplined, use whatever word you want, good or bad. We're going to stick with it. And our goal is to build a team that can be sustainable, be a playoff contender. And we'll stick with that. We'll continue in free agency to, whether it's with our own free agents or others, to be selective and try to address certain needs regarding our own individual both restricted and unrestricted free agents. I've been in contact with everyone. Obviously, you've read the only player we've signed so far is Albert Johansson. We have restricted free agents with no arb rights. We have restricted free agents with arb rights. And then we have our unrestricted. And we won't be able to sign all of our unrestricted free agents. I can't even guarantee we'll sign any of them, but we have interest in signing them. And ultimately, it becomes, it's going to come down to term and dollars. We have to make this all fit. As you know, I think it's safe to say Lucas and Moritz Seider, their contracts are going to go up significantly. And that's going to take up a major portion of our cap, and I have to be aware of that. And I have to plan for that. So that'll limit what we can do in other areas.
Now, note that he does mention later in the interview, but it was just so hard to, quite frankly, to cut around all the ums and ahs and, you know, 20 minutes of that, that he doesn't expect a deal will be done with Raymond or Seider before July 1st, but he does anticipate getting things taken care of sooner rather than later.
Yeah, they'll re-sign. He'll get them back. I don't believe either one of them have arbitration rights, so you got that going for you, which is nice. I think finding the right deal, there's going to be a lot of call and response when it comes to, you know, deal possibilities, but they'll get them both done. I'd rather they get them done before July 1st, but, you know.
I think that's certainly the preference for everybody. We'd like to have them locked in before we start going and making major expenditures in free agency.
Yeah.
But that's, again, a very non-committal. We're trying to build for the future and long-term and everything else. And I feel like the fan base here especially is getting kind of tired of the incremental building. Like, I need a big step next year. You came within a half a game of making the playoffs last year. I need a playoff appearance this year for sure.
Well, yeah,
wild card at a minimum.
For them to take a step forward again, like he has done the last five or six seasons, that would be, there is no other hire. I mean, a half game away from making the playoffs, that take that extra step, make the playoffs. I prefer to make it like solely in the Atlantic, not through a wild card, but we'll see what happens.
I'll just settle for, you know, the Lions thing, where they a couple years ago were, again, depending on another team to win to get them in the playoffs, and then the next season they go to the conference final. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
It's quite a jump. But, I mean, and there's a lot of people who agree with you. But, I mean, I think we're getting there. I like what Iserman said in regards to free agency. We're long past 2001, where, you know, Kenny Holland would just put a help wanted sign outside the Joe Louis Arena, and it would come in Brett Hall and Luke Robitaille and Dominic Hasek. Those days are gone. So, and I don't even know who is a free agent this year, or anybody that really moves the needle for me. But he doesn't.
You know who's a free agent for the Wings this year? Like, you?
No, I mean the other teams that the Wings would be interested in.
Well, I've thrown out some names here in the past. Obviously, Stamkos is a free agent. Jake Gensel's a free agent, and the one I want most of all.
If I had a choice, it'd probably be Stamkos, but.
Stamkos is older, though, and more injury-prone. I mean, obviously not the last three seasons, but I feel like we're just kind of playing, you know, with fire here. He's, what, 34 now?
Something like that, yeah. But Iserman doesn't want to sign a free agent just to sell jerseys. He doesn't want to do that just to sell tickets. He wants a long-term commitment from these players.
Well, no, and it's all in terms of making the team better. I mean, obviously that's what we all want, you know, getting towards that position. So
right. I would hope that he would be able to get Patrick Kane, but I mean, also it doesn't make sense for Patrick Kane to stay with Detroit. I'm sorry, Wings fans, it doesn't.
I have audio on Patrick Kane if you would like.
Yeah, okay.
I've talked with Pat Brisson, who represents Patrick. We've talked again with all of our free agents, not just Patrick, and explain my situation and have a feel for what they're thinking of, and we just pretty much all agreed, let's stay in touch. And this is a busy week, not just a busy week for the draft, but a busy week trying to see if we can't put some of these pieces in place.
He's telling us he's not coming back. I'm pretty sure that's what he's saying right there, is that Kane's not coming back.
Kudos to Kane and his camp for saying, yeah, well, we'll talk later. It wasn't a hard no. Kane is he's a good guy. He's a good guy in the room. He understands the process, but it doesn't make any sense for him to come back to Detroit. It really doesn't. He wants to win another cup. He has the ability, and he wants to get paid. Detroit can't pay him, can't win him a cup. Why would he come back?
Honestly, as much as I hate to say it, you're absolutely right.
I mean, if he has a turn of heart and say change of heart, he'd be like, yeah, I want to come back to Detroit for a 1-2 year deal, and you know, let's see what we can do here. I would love it, but again,
we'd all love it, but is it likely to happen?
No, it's not happening. And even if it did, if something happens, you're on the, like, let's say he signs a 2-year deal at $7 million a year. It's still a bargain for somebody like Patrick Kane, but you're on the hook for that money. He's over 35 now, and that contract, the new the CBA that we're currently under, says after 35, it doesn't matter. You cut him, you trade him, you draft him, you owe him that money.
Or someone at least is going to owe him that money. Hi, Utah hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happen. But where's he going? I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, he's going to Vegas. How much? Vegas has like $30 in a ham sandwich in regards to cap space. Because
when's that ever stopped them before? Yeah, just put Mark Stone on the LTIR again and I'll be fine.
Come on, somebody has got to call the Vegas Golden Knights out on that malarkey. But we'll talk about that next playoffs when Mark Stone does it all again. Where, I mean, other than maybe Dallas, I mean, I guess we could play this game all day long, but
New York's still being talked about.
Would he go back to the Rangers? Because I think he felt like they did him dirty.
I don't think he thinks they did him dirty. He was never going to get the deal from them that he was from, or that he thought he was going to get going into free agency last year. And honestly, New York, they're going to be a contender for a while to come.
Yes, they are.
They could certainly use a guy with his scoring prowess.
And he likes the spotlight. He wants to compete. And there's probably no bigger place than the Big Apple.
That there isn't. Want to do a little bit of hear Stevie's thoughts on the draft? And
yes.
Particularly, trading the first round pick.
Okay.
I'm not in a big hurry to be trading our you know, in particular our first round selection or our first round pick. I would be open to it, but I want to do that. You know, we traded a first round pick actually in this year's draft for Alex DeBrincat last summer. It turned out to be a late first that Ottawa has. So I'm not afraid of doing that, but I don't anticipate at this stage us making a trade for a player that would involve the 15th pick. Moving up or down, you know, we look at the teams that are around us. We contact them in advance just to say what's your level of interest in moving up or moving down, and we all kind of say the same thing. We'll see how it plays out on the floor. And
all right, so he's saying he's not really interested in trading the pick necessarily for a player, having it be involved in a trade for like a name player, but he's not opposed to moving either up or down in the first round.
I don't see him moving up. I don't know what the other 14 teams are, but I don't see any of them wanting to deal with the Wings to lose a higher draft pick.
I don't see anyone that jumps out at me necessarily in this. Like a lot of the names don't. I admit I haven't been keeping up as much this year. On
it seems to be kind of a little bit of a dead draft as opposed to the last couple of years where we all kind of had our
eye on a couple certain people.
Yzerman has his shopping list. He knows what he's going for. He knows what slots he wants to fill. I would very much see him trading that first pick down to like the lower 20s and maybe another second round pick, pad those stats a little bit.
You could certainly see something like that being the case. It wouldn't shock me. And he's when it comes to the drafting, that's the place where I admit I trust Yzerman completely and entirely. Like I don't, the free agency often will leave me somewhat underwhelmed, but he'll sometimes just have an absolute just home run of a signing.
Yeah.
But the draft is where the man's making his name.
Yes.
Now, I have one more clip for you. This one about the goalie situation.
Okay.
We will definitely want another a goaltender, say, if you want to call it a number three, whether he's a veteran, I define a veteran. But, another guy that in the event we have an injury up top or we need a goalie for whatever reason, that we have someone there. Again, just regarding on that note, regarding Sebastian, he had a very good year. We're very pleased with his progress. I don't rule out any player coming to training camp and standing on his head or playing brilliantly and force us to reevaluate our plan. But right now, I anticipate Sebastian playing and playing an even bigger role in Grand Rapids next year. And so that we'll look to add a goaltender there. And I don't see us like really doing three goaltenders throughout the course of the season. That wasn't really the plan last year either. But injury kind of dictated that, and we kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit at the end of the season as far as, okay, what do we want to do? And then Billy got hurt, and it kind of the issue was resolved.
So I saw the look that you made when he said about the progress that Kosa has made. I will let you have the floor on this.
I am a Sebastian Kosa fan, first and foremost, but the numbers I saw and the things that I read about his time in Grand Rapids wasn't exactly a shining mark on his resume.
Was not his best season, no.
No. So, I mean, he's definitely not NHL ready. He's going to be there. I almost wonder if this Trey Augustine, who played for Sparty last year and Team USA, he might leapfrog Kosa, make his way to the big team. I mean, he's only 19 years old, and or it's going to light a fire under Sebastian to play better.
It's funny you say that because in the longer segment, he does talk up Augustine quite a bit. We just didn't have another 3 minutes to listen to him talk about goalies that most of this audience has no idea who they are.
Yeah, Husso and Lyon, you got those guys under contract.
And they are going to be here. He actually also said in comments elsewhere that he's not opposed to extending one or both of them.
He said it's an option. It's an option. And there was times last season where both of them played well. They really did. Now, are you talking about signing a third goalie or whatever?
It does kind of sound like that, because I don't think that those comments didn't necessarily indicate that Costa is going to be ready, anywhere near ready, to be in Detroit at any time this season. So it sounds like there's going to be a third, kind of a Calvin Pickard-esque signing of some sort.
Oh, please don't say that name ever again. I've seen some things heated up on the Facebook pages, which, it's always perfect news. You can always take
rational
that.
Discussion there.
Absolutely. Talking about making a trade or trying to get John Gibson from Anaheim Ducks.
I don't think that's even a remote possibility. Like, from what I saw from everything I've heard from that presser from Yzerman, he is happy with Husso and Lyon being his number one and number two.
Sure, sure.
He certainly doesn't seem to be interested in making a move that would necessarily displace them off the depth chart. It would be...
Because Gibson would be a number one or two.
He's not looking for that. I don't get that sense.
No. A lot of people are saying that the Wings have been kicking the tires on John Gibson, but...
Has that been substantiated by anybody of actual note, though?
Friedman? I think Elliot
did,
was...
Did Friedman report that? I don't think it makes any sense, necessarily.
I will look that up.
Not necessarily that I'm... thinking that I'm particularly happy with the tandem you have, but it certainly doesn't sound the way Stevie's talking.
Yeah,
that he's interested in adding a number one goalie.
That was my next point. Obviously he was number one in Anaheim, but is he really a number one, or is it another situation where we're looking at him like we did Ville Husso? Oh, he played really good for Team X, he's going to do fine for us. That's not always the case.
Well, looks like you were right. Indeed, Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick did discuss on 32 Thoughts recently the possibility of the Wings trading for Gibson.
So, okay, they're just speculating, like it could work or something.
Talks that they have interest per, two guys who are fairly connected on these things.
Well, I mean...
But that seems like, in that case... That's certainly not what Yzerman indicated, that is something that he has any interest in. Unless we just operate under the assumption here and all of this that Steve Yzerman is lying to us.
Steve Yzerman never lies. He's just he stretches.
Let's hear
the
you
truth.
Spin this. Come
he,
on.
He withholds the truth. How do I put? He plays cards close to his chest.
I just don't necessarily think that he's being particularly honest with us when it comes to what his moves are going to be. What is the actual Iser plan going into next season?
He's not going to go to a presser and say, oh, Lyon or Husso? Oh, yeah, he gone. I can't get rid of this guy fast enough.
I get that, but I mean, it certainly doesn't seem like that was... more of a vote of confidence than it was he said he's looking to add another goalie, but I don't think, I just, from hearing, taking those comments at face value,
sure,
that didn't sound like we're going to add a number one goalie this offseason, because otherwise, why wouldn't you be calling the Boston Bruins and offering and seeing what they take for Ullmark?
I started having wonderful daydreams.
Right.
Because that would be awesome.
Giving you the vapors,
but I don't know who else is out there as far as goaltenders who would make a solid number three, somebody who's going to split time between GR and Detroit. You're not going to carry three goalies on your active roster. That's just suicide.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of guys or a lot of teams that do that sort of thing. I'm looking at the list. Matt Murray's a free agent, and absolutely under no circumstances do I want him here. Helya Samsonov, he's an unrestricted free agent.
Really?
I wouldn't turn down Samsonov if that was a possibility.
But he's not going to play a number three role.
No, he's absolutely not. You have Cam Talbert, who's like 50.
Cam Talbert, good for him.
He's still in the league. I've learned
that
just now.
Something.
Yeah, like any of the former, like, the several goalies that have gone in and out of Pittsburgh, including Matt Murray and Casey DeSmith. He could bring Eric Comrie back.
Oh, no. Casey DeSmith, now that's an interesting idea. I don't hate that idea.
I'm not a huge fan of that idea. I mean, he well, he ended up being injured, and they ended up having to turn to like their third stringer last year in the playoffs. That Solovs kid, yeah. Who again, I was thinking it was going to be another Thatcher Demko type situation. It wasn't far off from that. I mean, the Smith did not have a bad year. Okay, that's, I would grant that, but again, that's probably a guy who's going to be a, who's going to be your number one goalie more than likely, at least over Husso or Lyon, I would say.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I mean, in Grand Rapids, I got to look this up here. Who else was besides Kosa? Who was in net? I can't. I am so out of touch with our AHL team. It is criminal.
Michael Hutchinson was the guy last year alongside Kosa, and he didn't have great numbers at all. I mean, he was below .300, which is better than anybody at the NHL level.
This is true.
But Kosa had a far better season than him by a long shot. He had a .241 goals against and a save percentage of like .913. I don't necessarily think he's still ready for the big show, and clearly Eisman doesn't think so if he's considering adding a third goalie, I wouldn't say. Like, if you're even thinking that he's going to be promoted or be ready to do that emergency call-up thing next year, I don't think you're talking about... You're certainly not talking about adding a John Gibson, much less talking about adding just a third-string backup or something of that sort. We got to hit a break. Wow, that went a lot longer than I anticipated. We got to hit a break. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Happy Hour, and it's about the time of the week where we kind of take a break from yelling about the state of Detroit sports and instead tell people to make questionable, at best, life choices. Yes, it's that time of the week again for Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept. Quite frankly, I think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living. Sure, we may ruin a few lives in the process, but that's showbiz. So we called in a couple ringers for this, a couple people I don't believe our FM friends have met yet. So long before we started doing this show on these fine airwaves, every so often, my old buddy Wes Immel would come on and crash this show, usually around the holidays, and offload his like airing of grievances and all that good stuff. He does a show on our... on Solid State Radio, the other fine place you can find this show. And we haven't had him in studio with us in probably since last LaPierre days.
Yeah, apparently the PPO ran out.
The security's gotten really lax around here, but he's also brought along with him his emotional support human, Courtney.
My probationary period has ran off, so are we
good
now? And
there's no restraining order on me yet.
Wes, Courtney, congratulations, 70 days in advance on your nuptials.
Thank you. I don't know if I told you this or not, but you do know the person that is officiating my wedding.
And who is that?
He is sitting across the desk from you.
Oh, you're letting Sean Cantwell officiate
this will
your
be
wedding.
And what's really funny is this will be the third marriage certificate Sean and I have signed together.
Really?
One of these days he'll get it wrong. And actually, I now pronounce you Wes and Sean.
Yeah.
No, that will not be happening.
Not this time, because Sean, I will throw hands.
Sean can officiate a wedding.
I know. I'm as surprised as you are by
allegedly,
this.
Allegedly, I haven't seen the paperwork yet.
Yeah, wow. I mean, having Sean officiate a wedding, how would that go?
I mean, I've seen the last episode of Mad About You, where they had Dan Castellaneta do it. And he turned out he just did it for fun. He wasn't actually ordained or anything. He was just a house painter. So for years and years and years, they tried to get married on that date. And something always happened. So they ended up getting married like 8 years later or something like that.
Good NBC comedy. Anyway.
Yeah. So
dragging it out farther than it has to be gone.
That's the story of this radio show, really.
And The Simpsons.
That too. So let's just dive right into the advice, shall we? We'll see how good you two are about helping people, changing lives, whatever.
Remember, babe, FCC.
Well, let me be.
Yeah, we're not. We're going to leave it right there. Dear somebody who cares.
Nobody in this room.
My brother Brad is an unabashed sexist who I generally try to steer clear of. Recently, I attended a family event where we were both were and was shocked when he introduced his fiance, Olivia. My brother's attitude towards women comes as if it were lifted straight from Mad Men, and I can't imagine any self-respecting woman wanting to be with someone like that. Olivia and I managed to have a brief conversation while we were both finishing in the restroom, and she mentioned about how one of the things she loves about Brad is how helpful he is around their apartment. My brother is decidedly allergic to cleaning, cooking, and basically anything he believes a woman should be doing. I find it impossible to believe he's changed and feel like I should tell Olivia if she knows what she's signing up for. If I was in her position, I would want to know.
You guys want to go first on this one?
We've actually been in that kind of a situation a little bit with your husband.
My husband and my kind of brother-in-law. We don't speak for many of those reasons. Misogyny is awful. I would at least encourage Olivia to ask him to cook his favorite meal for her and then see how that request goes. And just watch it fly.
There you go.
I say throw a vacuum at him and ask him if he knows what it does.
Yeah.
You know what this thing is? Learn!
and here's a hint. If you give me any flack about it, I'm not going to do what it does. yeah.
Yep.
That's when you change the bag.
If she's
on the vacuum.
If she's sitting there, say, hey, honey, grab me a beer and see what he says, or something to that. I fully believe that sometimes people can change. So maybe it is possible that he's met somebody who he sees as an equal. And maybe he has changed. I would have probably said something, wow, he does that? Wow, around our house, he thought, you know, women should be seen and not heard, and blah, blah, blah. He loves Mad Men and likes to, you know, wants a secretary.
He loves the 1950s.
Yeah, he loves the 1950s. Not to say, hey, not pull her aside in the bathroom and say, hey, look, my brother's a terrible human being and you should dump him. That's not going to look good.
Didn't my sister do that to you?
No.
So should I think... You? I think giving her some sort of heads up would alleviate your conscience.
And there, but also, I don't know that I'd necessarily say anything at this point. I mean, other than, you know, maybe one such comment might be warranted, but also, it's not like, what's the best case scenario here? That she up and leaves him and you've sabotage your brother's relationship, and now he just doubles down on being that way?
Yeah, that is true.
Maybe he is actually doing that, and this is just going to set him down. You know, see, this is why I should have just done what I was doing the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like any of the outcomes from you intervening in this way are going to be positive.
Yeah, but the people who really want to be like that are like that nonetheless. There's always an excuse to be that way. I mean, that's personal victimhood on men for those who
sure.
believe that. I mean, equal partners is the best way to go.
Oh, yeah. Makes things a lot easier.
Heck, yeah. Sometimes I can't do everything I want to do, so I need some help. And sometimes it's the other way, and I got to pull up.
Yep.
Right. That's how it works in most healthy relationships, typically.
Yeah. In the 21st century, that's kind of, you have to kind of share the load with everything, with working, child raising,
Oh, absolutely. Even though Courtney and I, well, both of our kids are essentially grown at this point. They'll be 17 and 19 here in August. even then, we still all have to have, like, our own little duties around the house. I mean, we try to make it so no one person has all the responsibility. And I wouldn't be caught dead living a life otherwise, to be honest with you guys.
Makes sense. It's a healthy mix.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, she's my beautiful fiance here just got a new job. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
She got a significant raise. She told me I didn't really have to work if I didn't want to. Now everybody be like, well, why are you still working? But like we've all said, relationships are not 50-50. I feel they're 100%. You got to give exactly what you take out of it. So that's just my opinion.
He's not going to quit his job. He worked hard to tear up tickets at the Tilt-A-Whirl. He's not going to leave.
And I get free rides.
I can't quit my job. I just got down. Welcome to Walmart. How may I help you?
He's the youngest greeter ever to be to hold that position.
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty slam dunk, wouldn't you say, Sean?
I would say so.
Every once in a while, you bring out a good softball one, and I like that. Sometimes you bring out some ones that really make you think.
Well, let's see if I can make us think a little more for the next one. Dear anybody other than Sean and Adam, my girlfriend is driving me nuts. I am something of a foodie and I love to cook. I will often make extra for my lunch the next day. My girlfriend has the bad habit of telling me she isn't hungry and then turning around and wanting my food after I'm done, meaning that I don't have anything for lunch the next day. Our apartment is tiny, so there isn't a lot of extra storage, especially in the kitchen. I have to put effort into planning out meals. She works weird hours and doesn't keep regular meals. I'd be fine with that if she wasn't constantly changing her mind. Last time I threw her a frozen burrito and told her to use the microwave, she got extremely mad at me. I love her, but I can't get her to see how disrespectful this is. How do I get through to her?
You start making meals that she doesn't like. How about pickled herring and spinach or something like that?
Ugh, that's so gross. Although effective.
Yeah. Three words. Eat at Arby's.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you can't make more, I would just, you know, keep a stock of some of her favorite foods that she uses for comfort. And then be like, hey,
ooh,
this is mine.
I like this.
Absolutely. Listen, it'll keep her quiet because her food needs will be met. And he will keep his because hers are already put away where she can get them at any hour.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, yeah, I made chicken cacciatore. Oh, you want some? Here's some Pop-Tarts.
With or without butter?
What are you talking about?
I've never had Pop-Tarts with butter.
Yeah, nor have
I've never given up on life. So.
No,
that's also true.
No, the strawberry Pop-Tarts, the unfrosted ones, you toast those bad boys and you melt butter over the top of them.
That would be pretty good.
That pastry crust tastes a lot better with butter.
Oh, betcha.
Learned something new today.
It's so friggin' good. Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart? If you haven't, then I think you should.
You writing jingles for Kellogg's now?
Apparently. I've lost all control of this.
It's so friggin' good.
We're just stealing from Family Guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's not stealing anymore because that was credit.
That's true.
I have $30,000 in credit card debt.
Anyway. Yeah. Focus.
Sorry.
Here, shiny keys. Here, pay attention.
Wrong F word.
So,
Don't...
I mean, he can't make some for her also. I mean, is this now just a power play? Or, I mean, he says the apartment's not that big. Well, you don't have to make a whole month's worth of meals. Yeah, if you're making yourself some, make enough for her.
Well, he's making enough for what would be enough for both of them if she were, like, if she wasn't just honest about the I'm hungry or whatever. Therein lies the issue.
Make something for her anyway, because you know it's going to happen.
Yes, Wes.
I have an idea for this.
Okay.
Every recipe that requires milk, replace it with Miralax.
What are you trying to do to this poor woman?
Well, she'll definitely make up her mind after a few of those dinners.
That's true. She might eat more that way.
Yeah.
That exacerbates this problem.
Honey,
sorry.
Thank you for making me dinner, but I gotta go back to the can.
I'd like to strike that from the record.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a great diet plan.
Something that actually made Wes want to strike it from the record. That's pretty bad.
First time in 3 years.
First time in 7 years being on with Sean. And almost eight.
And then, you know, wait. And then if it keeps happening, just add eye drops to her meal, I guess.
What is this show turning into? Murder, She Wrote? There you go, Angela Lansbury.
Point out that how come Angela Lansbury has never been brought up on murder charges?
Actually, she was in one episode.
I would hope so, because everywhere she goes, people die. Like, the cops never put two and two together. Hey, what's crazy? He slipped on something.
On the OJ approach.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Epstein!
Didn't hang himself. Anyway.
So, long story short here, why can't you just make an extra portion, an additional extra portion of the food then? Is that an issue? Like, that's
maybe
also kind of...
Maybe he needs more Tupperware.
Well, go get more Tupperware.
What's stopping you? I don't even pay for Tupperware. I just acquired a bunch from buying takeout meals from our local gas station.
That's right.
I've got more Tupperware than I'll ever need in my life.
Well, it's awesome. You just go out to your local grocery store, get like the lunch meat, and comes in Tupperware.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only Tupperware I buy. Duh. Yeah.
Right.
That's how I help the planet.
She's hoarding it all.
I helped the planet by giving everybody a little piece of my advice. It's carbon neutral.
Yeah, that it certainly is.
Till I get beat by a piece of steel.
Well, yeah, there
steel
is.
Steel rod.
There is that. So, want to do one more of these real quick? Sure. So I think we've all kind of run our course on that. Sure. My husband, I'm 31-year-old female, he's 37-year-old male, freaked out when I mentioned I want a tattoo. Long story short, I finally decided to get my first tattoo after years of deciding. Nothing fancy. When I brought it up to my husband, we've been together for 5 years, he was stunned and held me at arm's length, staring at me. When I asked what's wrong, he said, I'm admiring my beautiful wife while she's still pure and untarnished. Oh, yeah. I got really upset, and he assured me it was just a joke and didn't mean anything by it.
Sounds like the dude from the first one.
Right? He came with me to my appointment, but stared at the floor the whole time and didn't say a whole word to me the whole car ride home. When I bring up getting another tattoo in the future, he said, you can get as many piercings as you want, ears only, but no more tattoos. We have a great relationship with lots of love and respect, but this is our weird sticking point. The kicker is pretty much every man I've dated has told me they don't want me to get a tattoo, but they all go on to date or marry women with lots of tattoos. What's the deal with men having very strong opinions on their women getting tattoos? Is
two
this
words
just me
for her.
The memo
switch
sent
teams.
Out and I missed it?
Switch teams. Well, I mean, because tattoos makes somebody feel dangerous, make look more dangerous, more edgy, wild. And he's probably, you know, cardigan tied around the neck kind of guy. And he's probably thinking that now his woman looks more hard-edged than he does.
Do you think I look edgy and hard-edged?
No.
Thank you.
Not even a little bit.
Right.
So, I don't
know. Certainly
not
compared to her.
Did she get, like, a Grim Reaper tattoo on her forehead? I mean, what are we talking here?
She says nothing big, nothing fancy necessarily. I can't understand what could possibly, unless you're doing like the whole, like, just giant chest piece, or like you're going full Post Malone and getting face tattoos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't imagine what could be such a huge deal breaker that he would just not be able to speak to you or look at you. I mean, I can't look at you anymore knowing that you're no longer pure and unvarnished.
Yeah, right. You can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. This is just wrong.
Like, this relationship just isn't going to work.
Actually, Adam, funny story on that.
During the break, I'll explain to you why most people can't be buried in Jewish cemeteries. Preview, it has to do with being Jewish.
Thanks, Wes.
For me, this is just my personal preference. I don't like the tattoos on the chest because when it comes to women, I am a chest guy.
Fair.
And so I just think that's sacred territory. And, you know, you see like a big old butterfly or skull and crossbones or whatever. It's like, oh, my goodness
hey,
gracious.
Hey, in 20 years, that's going to be a moth. Yeah.
No, but funny story, I actually lived this.
Yeah.
So my first husband tried this with me. When we met, he knew I had tattoos. He knew that I had piercings.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have come as a shock that I would want more. And he tried to police everything I did for body modification, saying that if I chose him, I understood what the rules were.
Rules, huh?
The rules, huh?
Yes, uh-huh. The rules. Because okay. Being in a relationship meant ceding control of my body to his whims. We're divorced. Yeah. So I think that if he truly loves the person and not just the physique, he should get over it. But if it's really that big of a breaking point, this is her shining light to get out while she can.
Rach and I have actually talked about this because I have no tattoos. She's got like two or three. Mm-hmm. And there's not really a deal breaker for me as far as like where you want to go get a whole sleeve, that's fine. You want to get you want to get some like big piece across the chest, that's fine. Like if you want to go get a what is it they call it? The tramp stamp? I don't care. as long as you don't, like I said, don't go full Post Malone. Like no, like I would like try to talk you very much out of face tattoos. But other than that, I do not care. And I absolutely, like, she's much the same way. As long as I don't do something like that, like get a bunch of, you know, no regrets on my forehead or something
yeah,
like
right,
that.
Right.
Like, there's not going to be, like, there is no deal breaker as far as that goes. It's your body. You're going to do whatever you want to it. And no. I'm going to support it.
Funny story, the Wuzbend, as we refer to him as, when I got my snake bites put in because I wanted them, his mother tried to tell me I couldn't do it.
Really? I didn't realize, where did she get to, where'd she get veto power exactly?
Right? And I was like, and your name's not Luann, which is my mother's name. But when I did get them, because I'm grown, I can do what I want with my body. I just can't tell other people what to do with theirs. So when I got them, he absolutely refused to kiss me or look at me very long, saying, I ruined my face.
Oh, man.
And you ruined your marriage, so...
I was set free. I reclaimed my freedom, my happiness, my everything when I set fire to that.
My snake bites.
Okay.
I feel like that's fair. And I now feel like we need to have these two in far more often to do unsolicited advice with us, because that was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
Happily.
Well, I believe we've fixed enough lives for one day. We do, however, have to hit a break real quick. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. You know what we really haven't got enough after what? Lately on this show, Adam?
What?
Those pesky Catholics.
Those pesky Catholics. It's time to take it. No.
Time to take them down a peg. But no, you brought up something the other day that I had no idea was a thing that happened.
Yeah, we talked about it on the Blarney Hour. Drew brought it up. We talked about it, and... Pope Francis, he brought in 300 stand-up comics to the Vatican. Basically, it was open mic night at the Vatican.
Okay, I have many questions.
There's a two-drink minimum.
Two shots of that holy water for you, or the blood of Christ, or however that works. Now,
sacramental wine.
Yeah, and a bowl of Jesus for everybody. No, anyway, go ahead, Sean.
I have so many questions, though, because I find it very hard to believe that even with all of the power, the money and whatnot that the Pope and the Church have, that you managed to find 300 clean comics that were actually funny.
Well, from America, it was
Jim Gaffigan, Brian Regan, who else is there?
That's,
is there anyone else? I don't think there is.
Stephen Colbert, I believe he was involved. But then the rest of them like were from other countries, and the whole idea was the world needs to laugh. But Pope Francis took to the podium, and you know, because he's going to do his 10 minutes.
Well, of course.
What's the deal? Don't you hate when you're baptizing a kid and the kid opens his mouth and you almost drown it? But I mean, he says it's okay, it's fine to laugh alongside the Catholic Church. Just don't be mean about it.
I didn't realize that we needed his permission to laugh. I guess.
Well,
so
I'm
glad we have that clearance now.
If
that's
you're a
awesome.
Catholic, he's a Pope. He's like Mr. Catholic, and it's
fair.
So yeah, Catholics need that. Yeah, you can. Laugh at the Catholic Church. Just be cool about it. They probably don't like a lot of the other jokes at some of the
right. We're just gonna avoid that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So two priests walking to Chuck E. Cheese. No, no. Yeah. The Vatican police just like, okay, that's it.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
This show is over.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, how are you getting through 300 comics? Like, that is a long comedy show, and you know that everyone's just going to be drunk off of communion wine
10 minutes.
After about, like, the 10th comedian.
Yeah,
Have you ever been to a Catholic service? Yeah. You need about 300
Yeah,
10
minutes per comic. That's like two masses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Knock, knock, who's there?
Ave Maria.
Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side, and peace be with you.
And also with you.
What's the difference between Jesus and a picture of Jesus? It only took one nail to hang up the picture of Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is why we don't let him out in public. Now,
ladies and gentlemen, Chris Rock. Keep my Savior's name out your mouth. And they're just like, well,
how so
long as Sam Kinison been dead, okay, it's safe now. We can bring this up because
well, wasn't he an ordained minister though?
Yes,
in some
he was
capacity,
an ordained
so,
minister.
I mean,
and he had one of the best bits I've ever heard in stand up comedy: how Jesus couldn't have had a wife because no wife would have bought the resurrection in a million years. Yeah. Where's those 12 losers that won't get a job? I'm sorry, folks. If we're not making fun of Christianity, we're making fun with Christianity.
Yeah, we're laughing with it, not at it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, the Pope. I love stand-up comedy, and I'm not Catholic, but I think the Pope's a pretty decent position to have. I mean, if you can apply for it, you can get it. But you know, may the white smoke be ever in your favor. But but I mean, I think it's kind of cool. Thank you. I mean, bring up, you know, I know Dane Cook, he's a Catholic. Bring him up, too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess we're all, for
sure.
One, not a clean comic by any means.
No, they probably have
also
to clean
not
things
funny.
Up. He started out funny. He started out funny, but then it's like it became more interpretive dance. Then I couldn't watch him.
It really was just him contorting himself and making noises more than it was actual.
I mean, you could bring up...
Isn't that ripping off Jim Carrey?
Very much so. There's
Except
a
that
lot
Jim Carrey was actually funny.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a lot of
Love
that.
Jim Carrey.
Gabriel Iglesias, you could bring him up. He could do a solid 10, 15 minutes at the Vatican. He'd probably really dig it. But, I mean, I'd be there. I'd be like, oh, hey, Brian Regan. I like him. And then I'd have to watch, you know, some stand-up comic from Zimbabwe.
I mean, I'm open to other cultures' comedy. I mean...
Talking about, you know, the dangers of the tsetse fly. I mean, I don't know anything about
it's
that.
It's a tsetse problem.
Don't you hate when the plane is trying to drop food and it drops on your family?
Homeowners insurance didn't cover that in Africa.
Yeah. UNICEF, where are those pennies going?
Oh, gosh.
And then Russian comics are like, don't you hate when you go to Ukraine and you get shot at?
I mean, that's what happens when you get a shirt from Target.
I'm just gonna leave all of that right there. Just
yeah,
without any commentary on my part.
Yeah,
because there's nothing I can say right now that's gonna either salvage this or get us out of whatever trouble you may have just gotten us into.
Nice. All right,
I tried.
Yeah. She's encouraging his bad behavior, and I didn't think that anyone could bring it out of him more than he already does himself on a daily basis.
You're welcome.
You think that's bad? Watch this. I'm going to give him the setup. Wes, last week, the Pope invited 300 stand-up comics to the Vatican to perform.
Okay.
And the idea is you could have fun with the Catholic religion, but you were not allowed to be mean about it.
Okay.
Brian Regan was there.
Oh, this is real.
Yeah, this is real.
No, this actually happened.
Yeah, 300 comics.
They actually did develop a sense of humor. No, for real.
And I mean, who? Chris. Colbert.
Colbert.
Okay. Steve Colbert. And I'm missing some big names here. Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan. I mean,
I thought you said big names.
Oh.
Wes is apparently not a Jim Gaffigan fan.
So I'm not even.
Shut up.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan. Hey, take the stage and not talk about food. Let's see. He'd have like a solid 3 minutes. I have
Wait,
five
that
kids.
Much?
Yeah, well, I gotta get going. Bye.
On that note, let's hit a break before we get in more trouble. It's happy hour. Stick around. Hours we get set to get out of Dodge here on a Friday afternoon.
And Sean, I don't know, it's another holiday. I didn't get you anything for it. I do apologize, but it is National Giraffe Day.
It is? That's
yeah,
a thing that exists?
It's probably National Something Else Day, but yeah, it is.
It's something like more national, more relevant than National
Giraffe
Day.
It might have actually been like World Giraffe Day, because I mean, in the United States, we got like what, five?
Or right. Something like that. What we've got in zoos, and that's it.
Yeah. There's a giraffe in a Texas Wildlife Center that got a little bit of headlines earlier this month. A Texas family got a brief scare when a nibble from a giraffe turned a two-year-old safari visit into an airborne adventure.
Yeesh.
Paisley was in the bed of a pickup truck on June 1st. Pickup truck, Texas, no kidding.
Of course.
When her family drove through the Fossil Rim Wildlife Center, where visitors can see exotic animals such as zebras, giraffes, and antelope, and feed some of them from their car. The family had stopped to feed a giraffe when it grabbed Paisley's shirt with its mouth and lifted her several feet. Paisley's mother was in the pickup bed with her, shouted, prompting the giraffe to drop the toddler.
This is why you don't let your kids ride in the bed of the truck.
What's the worst that can happen? Oh, that damn, that long-necked horse just grabbed my baby.
Good Lord, man. What are you doing? What kind of parenting is we, like, really just the mother and father of the year, I hear.
Jason, the girl's father, says Paisley was holding the bag and the giraffe went to go get the bag and not get her, but ended up getting her shirt, too, and picking her up. My heart stopped. My stomach dropped. It scared me. Well, yeah. First of all, I mean, why are we feeding animals like this? I mean, it's so dangerous. I mean, you hear of this kind of stuff happening. It's like, I wouldn't let Joey go feeding a giraffe.
Yeah, no. If I, for whatever ungodly reason, whatever, I have children, you think I'm letting them just go and feed a bunch of wild animals? Like, they're going to be the dinner for said wild animals.
Yeah, exactly. What's next? It's like, here is a T-bone steak. You see that lion over there? He wants that. You just go ahead and feed that to the lion.
Just
there
go ahead and hand it right to him.
Yeah, and pause with the picture with the lion. We are getting too comfortable with wild animals. We see this all the time. We're like, you know, people want to get a picture right next to a wild buffalo, and they get launched into the air.
That doesn't need to happen. We don't need to get the kids that comfortable with wildlife. We need to teach them to fear it a little bit. Respect it.
Yeah, I'm really watching my words because I don't want to say anything that's going to trigger PETA into thinking that I'm on their side.
Because we're not in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, you've got giraffes doing that. You've got every once in a while a tiger jumps out of their cage or somebody jumps into a tiger's cage, and then it becomes home entertainment for everybody.
Right.
And then it was the United States. Think about this. Cedar Point, there was a couple giraffes that got loose in Cedar Point. A couple of giraffes just running around. And you know what? The crazy thing about giraffes, because it is National Giraffe
Day. So I am apparently the only person that's never been to Cedar Point in this state.
You've never been to Cedar Point? Oh, wow.
I may be the only person in Michigan that hasn't. Is there like a zoo or something close by where it would make sense for giraffes to be just running around the park?
I haven't been in probably 20 years, but apparently so. Enough to where, was it giraffes? Or have I got my, no, giraffes. Two of them got out and was just running amok over there. And what's crazy about giraffes is they got that long neck and a big head. They use their head like a wrecking ball. And so people are trying to wrangle this giraffe, and some of them are getting just completely messed up. I would imagine. But then I can't remember what country it was or what city. I think it was an American city where they were having bull riding competitions.
Probably somewhere in Texas.
And probably. Or California or something like that. And a bull jumped out of the arena.
Into the crowd.
And then through the whole area where you have all the food trucks and stuff like that. So yeah, you're seeing people like waiting in line for candy corn or not candy corn. Nobody likes candy corn, like candy apples and stuff like that. And here you go. You're sitting there. Oh, I just want cotton candy. Why is this line taking so long? And here comes a bull, just lofts you in the air because it got one girl. She lived. She's going to be fine. But yeah, she got lofted probably about 10 feet in the air by this bull.
Yeah, no, this was a very recent, this was just last week.
Yeah.
A 3-year-old bull bred for bucking. Party Bus was the name of the bull. And well, he certainly brought the party. No, it gets worse. Party Bus named after his father, Short Bus.
he was special to the family.
Yeah, his bell had been rung a few too many times. He made national headlines earlier this month at his first rodeo when he jumped through the fence of a crowded arena in Central Oregon and Kareem.
Oregon, yeah, that's we were way off.
Is it Texas? No, Oregon.
Well, you thought it was, might be California, yeah, so yeah, you were a little closer than I was.
Yeah, right.
The bull he jumped the fence of the crowded arena and careened through the concessions area, injuring three people. The bull made a mistake and didn't intend to hurt anyone, his owner said, other than whoever was trying to ride the thing in the arena.
Yeah.
And it was the first time Party Bus had been around that many people.
Yeah, I love
Party's a little too hard, I guess.
I love how they issue an apology from the animal. Oh, a Party Bus didn't know what he was doing. He regrets everything else. He will be sending a letter to all those injured and make sure that you know that they'll be getting free entrances into his next performance. And meanwhile, the bull's like, I'll do it again. You tie something around my hoo-ha and get me all crazy and want to buck these people off, I will gore every single person here. I'm an animal. I'm a wild animal, and you cannot contain me.
And they all kind of deserve it, honestly, just doing all this.
Once in a while, we'll go to certain watering holes, and they'll have this bull riding competitions on the TV. I'm rooting for the bull.
Same. Like, if you're stupid enough to get on the bull, I feel like you deserve everything you get from that point on.
I mean, it's always like some guy named Colt Robinson. He's gonna be riding this bull. He's going to be riding it 8 seconds.
It's always, his name is like Colt or Buck or something. Buck,
yeah, something like that. Yes, yeah. My boy's going to be a bull rider. I could name him Jonathan. Nah, Colt. He's going to be a bull rider. So, yeah, and, you know, they do things to these bulls to where they want to buck this person off.
Yeah.
And then they start going after everybody else, anybody within arm's reach. And then you got these stupid clowns jumping around trying to get their attention.
I mean, really, it's just, it's honestly, it definitely takes care of the, you know, cuts down on the clown population. Really, that's the thing.
It was so terrible.
We need the bulls to keep the clown population in check.
Yeah. Three clowns died today during a rodeo. It was so terrible. I took the kids out for some family entertainment, and this bull just went into this whole crowd of clowns. All I heard was squeaking and screaming.
Nothing but screams and honks.
Honk, honk. Oh, God, it hurts. Everybody get in the car. All 20 of us. The bull's like, I'm not done with you. I mean, I can't be the only one that roots for the bull, right? I mean,
definitely not the only one who roots for the bull. Like I said, I do too.
All these people, like, skinny as a rail, belt buckle bigger than their face. Look, yep, like they actually are. Are you also a wrestling champion? I mean,
apparently.
And these bulls, and they're bucking these little guys all over the place, and they're getting stomped and gored. Oh, they could be gored if they didn't sand the horns down.
That's, oh, do
not
they?
Fair. Is that a thing? Yes,
well,
they do.
Yeah, that seems like
fair.
It's an unfair advantage for the idiot that's trying to ride the bull.
Yeah, right.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
Yeah. Oh, where's the danger? Oh, I guess the danger is being lofted 12 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's definitely still a danger. The bull could still trample you, so there's plenty of danger there.
I'm sure.
But I argue it's not enough because people keep doing this.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a CBA agreement between the bull riders and the bulls. We're like, okay, in Spain, you're allowed to keep the horns, but the Spaniards also will kill you if they win. So, okay, we'll sand down the horns. You just don't kill us at the end. Okay, agreed.
Right.
They shake hooves, and then, you know, next thing you know, you got one guy going. There's one guy going. This one bull, Party Bus, jumping out going, I smell margaritas. What? Oh, my God. Is that Louisiana? Is that Bayou Billy? Oh, here we go.
It's on now. The hell with this.
Here comes
I'm eating good tonight. Oh, wait. Oh, God. Is that... That steak, isn't it? You son of a...
Oh, steak? Oh, I'm conflicted. Turn those cameras off. I'm conflicted. That was my daddy's short buzz. But if you put enough of A1, it's not that bad. Turn the cameras off. Yeah, he's smelling that from his little shoot, and he brought it ready. Let me go there. I'm gonna buck this guy off real quick. I gotta go get me. What is that? Fried Oreos? Oh, I've got to go get me some of that. Elephant ears? Oh yeah,
I need this in my life like now.
Colt, whatever your name is, I forgot
Colt
your name.
Winchester,
Colt
or whatever.
Winchester, whatever. Colt.
gunpowder, or whatever your name is. You're not going to last a millisecond, my man. I'm going to buck you out of here before.
Now you're just standing between me and food, and we can't have that.
Yeah, because he talks to himself about a third person. Yeah, party bus hungry.
Yeah, he probably does. I don't know.
Party bus hungry. I'm going to run over there, and oh, yeah, this little girl waiting for cotton candy. Yeah, I'm lofting her because she's in between me and Bayou Billy's.
Exactly. On that note, we should probably take care of a little bit of housekeeping here,
yeah.
eh?
Yeah.
Happy Hour would like to apologize to Catholics, Dane Cook, Bulls, and I guess clowns. We're sorry. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, Willie Mays got to raise a glass to him.
Absolutely.
90-some years old.
93.
93 years old. Great, great player. Say hey.
Indeed. So we've got a little bit of, not quite housekeeping really, but next Friday, we're tentatively not going to be sitting in this studio doing the show. The plan is that we're going to be down at the Sandusky Thumb Festival, located somewhere conveniently north of downtown Sandusky,
yeah.
a mere like quarter of a mile away from the Sand Lake Broadcasting World headquarters,
sure.
and hopefully we'll be in the beer tent again.
I hope so.
So we don't have to go through this whole show sober. So
nobody wants that.
No, no one wants that. So that's probably where you'll hear us coming to you from next Friday. Show up and, you know, hang out with us because we'd love to meet the three people that actually listen to this show. And maybe we'll give away some fun and fabulous prizes. You never know.
Or get a Solid State Radio sticker.
So you have that to look forward to next week. And, well, some overtime on our part because we'll be on actually live till 7 that night doing happy hour things. And then we'll see what the hell happens with sessions after that. Speaking of... your favorite hour-long local original music program is on the way next.
Yeah, Caleb Nathaniel Nettles. He has a new album, Nowadays. Looking forward to having him in studio.
So that is coming up next here at your local alternative Solid State Radio. In the meantime, all being well, we'll talk to you Monday afternoon at 3. See ya.